book of Amos. This is a message that I've preached any number of times over the past 30 years. And each time I preach it, it's more relevant than the time before. And I'd like you to realize as you hear this message that you hear it, the facts of the situation that just a few months ago, our southeast was devastated by a hurricane, which many of the people are still living in tents and campers. It's at a time that our west coast is literally on fire. The houses of multimillionaires, 30, 40, 50 million dollar houses, just like that, they're gone. A time when terrorism is in New Orleans and wherever the Cybertruck blew up. Multiple attempts to kill the to-be president that we've witnessed. And that's on top of the violence that we see in Chicago and Atlanta every single night. And I want to remind all of us that the scripture says, all nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. Literally, our West Coast is on fire. In the book of Amos, we see a prophecy that was towards Israel, but there's no new thing under the sun. The same prophecy has played out in the United States. The prophet Amos says in chapter 8, verse 11, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send the famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor of the thirst of water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of the Lord. Not a famine of bread, not a famine of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning that you've given us these prophecies, that you've given us these scenarios that we can understand, that we can look at our nation, and we can look at our personal lives, and we can begin to understand why things are not going the way that they ought to go. Now, Father, I ask you that you'd open the ears and the hearts of your people here in the room and across the internet, and that you'd enable me to speak with clarity this morning to clearly communicate these thoughts into your people's hearts. And Father, I also ask you that you'd bless the offering that we receive today all day long, that you'd bless those families, those individuals that support this ministry. And God, give us wisdom to use this money to scream Jesus as loud as we can scream it, here in the local community and across the world by internet. Father, we ask it all in Jesus' name, and we thank you for it. Amen and amen. Amos was careful to say that this is the Lord's words, that the Lord would be the one to send a famine in the land. But it would not be a famine for more bread or more water, but it would be a famine for the hearing of the words of God. Now, that's exactly what has happened in this nation over the past 20 or 30 years. There was a time when I first got saved, you could walk into almost anybody's church and you could hear the gospel preached to some degree. But now most churches that you walk in, you're not going to hear the gospel at all. There'll be no mention of Jesus, there'll be no mention of the blood, and there'll be no mention of sin. In most churches that you go in now, it's all a feel-good type message that's coming out. Now, the famine that we're under right now is not for the word of God. There's Bibles all over the nation. It's for the hearing. It's for the hearing of the word of God. And the reason that many people aren't hearing it is because, number one, they're not reading it to themselves. And number two, much of the priesthood, most pastors, many pastors at least, have simply stopped preaching it. Now, a natural famine emaciates the physical body. No matter how fit you are, you become unfit real quick because you're not getting adequate nutrients. A spiritual famine emaciates the spiritual man. And as the natural man loses his strength, if you don't have the word of God, you lose your spiritual strength. But worse than that, when a spiritual famine for the word of God hits a country as it has hit ours, you see the value system of the entire society flip upside down. Now, this famine has been in the land for some time, but it's only gotten worse year over year. It's only gotten worse. And Paul told us that this was going to happen. He told his young protege, Timothy, he said, Timothy, I charge you. In other words, he was giving him a military command. I command you before the Lord and before Jesus Christ that you preach this word. He said, I need you to preach it in season, preach it out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, because the day will come that my people will not endure sound doctrine. But instead, they'll heap to themselves preachers having itching ears who will turn their hearts from the truth and turn them unto fables. That's exactly what has happened. Most preachers that refuse to preach this Bible refuse to preach it because they don't want to lose any money. Filthy lucre is what Paul called it. They're afraid that if they step on somebody's toes, that person stops tithing. I love you, but I don't want your money that bad. Whenever you come here, you're going to hear the truth. I love you. I hope it doesn't offend you. But if it does, that's not my problem. That's God's problem and your problem. Y'all work that out. But you can know you can always come here and you will hear the truth. You will hear the Bible. I don't preach politics. I don't preach humanism. I don't preach humanistic psychology. You get the word of God or you get nothing. And that's how every church should be. Until the preachers begin to preach the word again and until the people begin to support the preaching of the gospel, the famine just gets worse and worse and worse. And you may be of the mindset, well, you know, it's not that bad right now. I'm doing pretty good. I think I can weather the storm. Well, the famine's not over. You see, when in the days that they would come and besiege a city, what they would do is they would sit outside of that city with their military and nobody could go out to the crops. And so it was fine for a while because you had food already within the walls of the city. But sooner or later, that begins to run dry. And you're going to have to go out and get the crops. But if you do, there's certain death because the military's sitting there waiting on you. Well, in this country, the spiritual nourishment of the word of God has been by and large cut off. And unless you eat it yourselves, you're going to end up emaciated. Or you're going to end up going outside of the walls of Christianity and sit under some crackpot, some nut that's telling you how good you are, how wonderful you are, and never tells you there's sin in your life. And God wants to deal with that. God wants to mature you into Christ's likeness. He wants you to lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset you. Until you're hearing that, you're not hearing the gospel. God is love, but God is equally wrath. I wasn't going to say this, but I'm just going to mention it. They had the Golden Globe Awards on the 5th. Anybody see that? I didn't watch the awards, but I saw a part of it. Where each time that somebody got an award, they come up and they give them their reward and they give an acceptance speech. And after a number of people came up and gave their acceptance speeches, the commentator said, well, let's see who got the most mentions in acceptance speeches. And they looked at one entity, I don't know who they were, directors or somebody, said they got 11 mentions over the course of all the acceptance speeches. Then they looked at another group and they got 5 mentions. And then the commentator said in a mocking voice, well, let's see how many mentions God got. See, mostly it used to be when they gave acceptance speeches, they said, well, I thank God that she, in a mocking voice, she said, God got 0 mentions. 2 days later, the fire started. And I looked it up this morning. There's 4 to 5 people that I could verify that were sitting in that meeting laughing at her joke whose house just got eliminated from the planet. God is not mocked. And we live in a time we need to take our relationship with Jesus seriously. Just coming to this building means nothing. You're going to have to walk this out. You're going to have to put your hand in the hand of the man that steals the water, and you're going to have to walk this thing out with him. And it's not a direct line between here and heaven. There's going to be some ups and downs. There's going to be some zigs and some zags along the way. But don't let go of his hand, because the famine has just started. What I predict we'll see, I'm not a prophet and I'm not prophesying. It's just what I see with my visual eyes, that in the next 4 years, you're going to see such devastation in this nation, and you can't blame it on the man in the White House. Mr. Trump can't fix this. Mr. Biden couldn't fix it. Mr. Obama couldn't fix it. Neither one of the Bushes could fix it. You go all the way back to Washington. Can't nobody fix this but Jesus Christ himself, because it takes a piercing into the hearts of men. I want to show you a famine that occurred in Samaria in 2 Kings chapter 6. These are normal people. These are no more wicked than you and I. They're normal people living normal lives when they fell under the influence of a famine. When you're hungry, you will do whatever you have to do to eat. Now, I know we can sit here this morning. We just had breakfast saying, I don't think so. You just ate breakfast. Just go on a 3-day fast. Just three. Just stop eating for 3 days. Unless somebody sit in front of you with a steak and that aroma's going up in your nose. And they say, you want a piece? And let's see how strong you are. In the book of 2 Kings, chapter 6, verse 25, it says there was a great famine in Samaria. Now, this was a natural famine for natural food, but I want you, as we move through it, to equate it to the spiritual famine that we're currently going through. A famine in Samaria, a famine in America, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver and the fourth part of a cab of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver. Now get this. A mule's head has no meat on it. Maybe a little bit on the jaws, that's about it. But it commanded a decent price because the people were looking for any little thing that would give them some nourishment. And so prior to the famine, nobody even wanted. The ass's head had very little value, but when the famine occurred, the value system inverts, and things that had no value suddenly have a high value. A quarter cab of dove's dung. Now, I looked this up this morning. There's many that say this is some type of pulse that they ate, but about 30% of scholars says this is actual dove's dung that they were eating for the nutritional value. Now, I want you to equate this to the spiritual famine that we're in this morning. There was a time in this nation that it was obscene for a woman to be on a stripper pole. Now it's mainstream. It was obscene in this nation for somebody to turn their rear end to you and bounce their butt meat in your face. Now it's mainstream. The value system has inverted. And what actually has no value at all, now society is holding in high value. Why did that happen? It's because we're in a famine. We're in a spiritual famine. And it says here, a quarter, fourth part of a cab of dove's dung. Let me tell you what dove's dung, what it means. If you're eating dove's dung, it means you're eating where the dove used to be. And he ain't there no more. Am I making myself clear? It means that many of these churches, the anointing used to be there, but it's not there anymore. This brother on the other side of town, Mr. T.D. Jakes, that brother knows how to preach. I've heard him preach years ago. And he's a strong preacher. But he compromised himself. And now when you go there to eat, I'm not trying to be harsh, you're eating dove's dung because the Holy Spirit ain't there no more. The dove has moved. And so I would say to everybody within the sound of my voice, find a real Holy Ghost preacher that still has a prayer life, that still walks honestly before God, And if you can't get here, get up under that preacher and sit down. And when you get offended by what he's preaching, don't run off. Sit there. Because you need to eat that the Holy Spirit has. So we see then that at one time there was no value to dove stone, no value to an ass's head. But because of the famine, everything, the value system is inverted. He goes on to say in verse 26, as this famine grew worse and worse, and as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, "Help me, my lord, O king." And he said, "If the Lord don't help you, when shall I help you? Out of the barn floor or out of the wine press?" He said, "I know you just want food. Everybody wants food." And the king said unto the woman, "What aileth thee?" And she answered, "This woman said unto me, 'Give thy son that we might eat him today, and we'll eat my son tomorrow.'" We recoil when we hear this. But we become so desensitized, we don't realize millions upon millions of babies we aborted over the past decade, maybe longer. Millions. And we look at these two and say, how could they kill those two innocent babies? And yet this country's got the blood of millions of infants on their hand. There was a time that Israel did the same thing. They called it Jehovah worship, but they actually worshiped Baal. But they called him by the name of Jehovah. And what you see happening in the nation now, they call it Christianity, but it's not Christianity. Christianity is Jesus Christ, the blood, and the rebuke of sin. What they're preaching, they call it Jesus, but it's not. And they would call it Jehovah, but they were worshiping Baal. And Baal was a big brazen statue, bulbous, with a big belly. It was hollow on the inside, and his arms were stretched out like that. That was the physical idol that they worshiped. And at certain times, inside of this idol, they'd build a fire until the whole thing glowed red hot. Then they'd bring their babies, and they'd lay the babies in those red hot hands, and it would burn to death right there. And the priest would beat the drums loudly to cover the screams of the child. There's a famine in this country. We see it on TV so often it doesn't even bother us anymore. If one baby is aborted, that's too many. That's too many. If one of our little babies, our little children, that just coming into maturity, is on the internet twerking their butt and doing a pole dance, that's one too many. And it's not until we, God's people, begin to raise up a voice saying that sin is wrong. It's wrong. So I know they're going to tell you, "Don't judge me, don't judge me." I'm not judging you. The word of Almighty God has set the standard of judgment. And if you're here today and you're doing that, the word of the Lord to you is that you had better stop. Sin has an addiction to it. You don't just sin and stand fast. Sin pulls you down. Iniquity unto iniquity. The Bible says righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach unto any people. It means that the more that this nation sins, look at what's trending now. What's trending in this nation is homosexuality and transgenderism. That's what's on the uprise. That's what's going up. And thank God this ungodly administration just got kicked out of office because they were the ones and the last administration that was producing this thing. They were the ones putting people in office. Our health, our director or whatever the title is of the health in America is a transgender. It's a man who's dressed up as a woman trying to tell you and me how to be healthy. Listen, sin is sin. I'm not killing anybody out. It doesn't matter what kind of sin you have. Jesus' blood covers it. But you got to come to Jesus. You can't strengthen yourself in your iniquity. And I'm not with it. I will always cry out against it. And I know there's people say, oh, Pastor, you're old school, brother. That's right. You know what the Bible said? Seek for the old path. And when you find it, walk it. And you'll find rest for your soul. See, Paul told Timothy, he said, the day will come, they'll heap to themselves preachers having itching ears. What that phrase means, they want to hear something new. I want to hear a new thing. I'm sorry, I don't have a new thing. I got 66 books that I can preach. And no preacher has any authority to preach anything outside of this Bible. There's no authority to preach anything else except what thus saith the Lord. So they came to the king and said, well, the woman told me that if we eat my baby today, we could eat her baby tomorrow. Can you imagine what that would be like? First of all, to kill your baby. Now, we know it's humanly possible because we've had millions in this nation do it. But then you have to break your baby's arms and legs off like a chicken. And you have to put them in a pot. And then you have to sit there knowing that you are eating your own. It's a heinous, heinous sin. But yet this woman felt no shame at all to go to the highest authority in the land, to the king, and say, Mike, here's my case. We ate my baby. I now want to eat her baby. That's the case she's making. But look at the arguments that go to our Supreme Court. I'm a biological man, but I identify as a woman. And they wouldn't bake me a cake because they don't agree with my lifestyle. And I'd like to extract the punishment from them. And we'll go to the highest authority in the land with no shame. It's a famine. It's a famine. We become, as a nation, spiritually emaciated. We are weak as a nation. And let me tell you something. Somebody says, well, it's all the preacher's fault. And yes, a good degree of it is the preacher's fault. But I heard God said, if my people, that means all of us that are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven and I'll put out the fires in California. I'll stop the hurricanes in the Southeast. I'll stop the violence in the land and the corruption in the government. If my people... This is something that every one of us involved in, but the reality is most Christians don't even have a prayer life. We don't pray more than 10 minutes. A prayer life is you can easily lay down and pray for an hour. That's a prayer life. As a matter of fact, just a side note, we've moved the prayer service that we have on Tuesday night under Brother Ike. Ike is an up-and-coming minister. And he's taken it, he's left it at Tuesday night, but once a month, I think it's first Friday, there'll be announcements made. We're going to do a two-hour prayer from 10 p.m. till midnight. Saints, you need to get in on that. You know where I learned to pray? I first got saved, I wasn't saved a month. And they happened to, pastors, the church I was in said, hey, we're having a men's prayer group in the morning. I think it was 6 a.m. I said, well, that's no problem. I'll be there. Oh, man, I'm a baby in Christ. And I noticed, man, ain't nobody but us in here, just a few. But be that as it may, I didn't know how to pray. So I just started listening to my pastor. He was over there on the side, leaning against the wall. And I'd try to pray my little prayers. And so I would quote scripture. I would say the scriptures. I would pray the scriptures. Because I know God agrees with that. And one time I was praying the scripture, I messed it up so bad. I couldn't memorize it. I'm a baby in Christ. I messed it all up, but I heard my pastor pray that scripture for me. That's when I realized how important it is to be able to communicate with God. Somebody else is going to need your prayer life. Somebody else is going to need you to call out on God for them. But if you can't pray for your own self, and listen, prayer is not walking around, Father, 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 Father. No, prayer is a communication that goes two ways, where you speak to God and then you silence yourself and let God speak to you. And it's a place that when you leave, here's the rule. I'm getting off on prayer. Here's the rule. You don't pray till you're done. You keep praying till you touch him, till you touch heaven, till the power flows. That's when you're done. That's when you've been changed. Verse 30 says, it came to pass when the king heard the words of the woman that he rent his clothes and passed by upon the wall. And the people looked, and behold, he had sackcloth on his flesh. Now, sackcloth was an external sign of repentance before the Lord. And so he had the externals of sackcloth on, external showing of righteousness and repentance. But as we read on, it says in verse 31, then he said, go, God, do so and more also to me, if the head of the Elijah, the son of Shaphat, shall stand on him this day. So while he's doing this external show of righteousness, in his heart is murder towards the prophet, who the prophet is of God. And many times you'll see people, it's easy to put on the external display. It's easy. You just go buy a new suit, put a little cologne on, comb your hair, come in and just look deep. Just look deep, deep. But the inward man is what God wants to get to. He wants to pierce into the inward man. It's not that you went and bought a new suit. It's the inward man has been changed, and something on the inside begins to work on the outside. And there's a change that occurs in your life. You don't have to show off. It's all by itself. It's the fruit of the Spirit. You don't have to make yourself a Christian. You don't have to look deep. You just have to just walk with him. That's all he's asking. It's so simple. Just walk with him. But until this nation gets back to a true walk with God, we have forgotten him days without number. We're many that are called themselves Christians, and Angela touched on this morning in the early message, that they're really hedonist. It means their life is consumed with the pleasures of flesh, the enjoyments that we can attain from this world, but spiritually emaciated. There's a couple things you need. Three, you need the Word of God. You must have it. You need the Holy Ghost. And I'm talking about with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And you need a walk with Jesus Christ, a true relationship with Jesus Christ. So we see the king with this external display of righteousness, but in his heart there was still malice towards the prophet. Jesus said this in the book of Matthew, and I think in one other gospel. Man doth not live by Tom Thumb alone. Man don't live by Walmart alone. You can be 400 in the natural and be 55 in the spiritual. But I'd rather be 185 in the natural and 400 in the spiritual. Praise God. Man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. Amen. Would you bow your heads, please? All over the room. Father, we thank you for the word of God. We ask you now, oh God, let your conviction fall upon our hearts. Let the convicting power of the Holy Ghost pierce us through and through. Lord, many of us have not grown in our walk in years, perhaps even decades. We've come to a place of satisfaction with church attendance, but we've not approached you, Lord. We've not come to the throne of grace. Lord, our nation is in trouble. The church is in trouble. Our homes are in trouble. Our industries are in trouble. And oh God, we come to you today. And we repent. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet this morning? If you're able this morning, would you stand to your feet? I don't know where you are. It's not important for me to know. But why don't you, out of the depths of your heart, just begin to reach out to the Lord. Say, God, I've got to come closer to you. There's a famine. I cannot always depend on the preacher to feed me. I've got to learn to feed myself. I've got to learn to get down into that word myself. And the preacher is just a background. He's just background accommodation, background affirmation of what I've already read. God, I come to you this morning. Lay your conviction upon my heart. Lay the convicting power of your Holy Spirit down in my soul. Make me miserable, oh God, with the commonality of my walk, and help me to come closer to you. Come on, reach out to the Lord. Listen, many of us older people, we get ready to leave this planet. But some of you young folks, you're going to have to walk through this thing, and you're going to have the power of God in your life, or you won't make it. Reach out to God. Drop your pride and reach out to God. He loves you. He wants to do right by you, but you've got to take a step towards him. Come on, just reach out. Father, we need you today.
Lord God, we just thank you, God, for this word, Lord God. We thank you, God, that you have shown us that we can live on you alone, Lord God. That in the famine that is going on in the spiritual, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to thirst and to hunger after you, oh God. That every day that we wake up in the morning, that you would give us a new thirst and a hunger for your word, God. That would fill us up, oh God, and help us each and every day. And like Pastor said, to not stop praying, but to continue to pray until we touch him. The Bible says to pray without ceasing, Lord. So God, we thank you in advance for what you're about to do, God, as we feed ourselves spiritually and we eat the word, Lord God, and we thirst for it, and you quench every part of the thirst that we have, oh God, that we would never have to thirst again because we have you, Jesus. So God, touch every person in this place, touch every person online, oh God, and allow us to take this word and apply it and to share it with someone else, oh God. God, we thank you, Lord. God, we honor you and we worship you. It's in your son Jesus' name that we pray these things. Amen. We thank you, those of you who are on the webcast and those of you in-house, for being here with us on today. What a beautiful word, right? Amen. 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 If you haven't already done so, please go ahead and give, as we do need your support, as Pastor spoke about earlier. And just remember that our Bible class resumes on January 15th at 7:00. We're going to get back into Revelations, and I know y'all are ready for that. All right. And if there's nothing else, you are dismissed.